The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Everywhere Jesus goes, many people expect him to set them free from oppression. Everywhere he goes, he heals them and sets them free. Disease, devils, and death are running for their lives. The forces that diminish human life are rendered powerless by Jesus. I begin reading at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good, we got a whole row full. Well, I have good news for y'all today. You know what? This is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Can you be happy? Smile? Okay. In our gospel lesson today, we heard Pastor read that Jesus went with some of his disciples to one of their homes. And there they found Simon's mother-in-law. She was sick with a fever. Have you ever been sick with a fever? Yeah. I don't like to be sick, do you? No. So, guess what? Jesus can make us well. He said to the lady, he took her by the hands, and he helped her get up, and just like that, she was well. Her fever left her. Because Jesus can do anything. He can do all kind of things. And why do you think he made her well? Does he love us? Did he love her? Yeah, he loved her. And he can do wonderful things. Do you think she was happy when she got well? Yes, she was. Well, people heard about that, and they brought just about everybody in the whole town that was sick to Jesus to help for him to make them well. Why do you think Jesus healed them, made them well? Why do you think that? Did he care about them? Yeah, he loved them. That's why. And he loves us too. He gives us somebody to take care of us. Have you ever been sick, and who helps you then? Who do you go to and say, "Oh, I have a headache," or "Oh, my tummy hurts"? Who do you go to at your house? Mom or dad? Yeah, yeah. Sometimes all we need is a Band-Aid on something to make it better. But sometimes when we're real sick, they have to take us to the doctor or give us medicine that helps us get well. And why do they do that? Why do you think they help you get well? Because they love you and they care about you. And that's just the way Jesus did. There's a special day coming up this week. Does anybody know what that is? When we show love to people?
Valentine's
what is it? Valentine's Day, that's right. That's a special day when we can send cards or show somebody that we love them. And there are lots of ways to show that we care about people and love them. Can you think of some ways? What can you do to show people that you love them? Or your mom or dad, what can you do? If they tell you to do something, can you obey them? Taylan, can you obey if your mom tells you to do something? Yes, that's one way you can show love. And when we're kind to other people, when we share with others, when we take turns, and even if somebody gives you something, what can you do? What can you say when they give you something? Thank you? Yes, that's a way. That's a way to show love, too. Do you know that you can even show love by tying knots? I want to show you something. Look at this quilt. Every month, some ladies come to our fellowship hall, and they spread out some material on the tables, and they put another piece of material on it, and another piece on it, and then they get busy tying knots, and it's all full of little knots in this quilt, and it holds pieces together, and it makes a warm quilt. We all have quilts at home, and cozy beds to sleep in when it's cold, but not everybody does. Don't you think they would be glad to get a quilt like this? Yes, I think they would. And that's one way that we can show love, by even tying knots in a quilt. Well, we are to be like Jesus. We're to share and to love and help each other. Will you pray with me now? Dear God of love, help us tell and show our love to others by using both our words and our actions. Thank you for showing your love to us by sending Jesus to be our Savior. Amen. Thank you for coming up, and I have a little something for you, because it's Valentine's Day. You can come and get one of these. It's got a little knot to help you remember what we talked about. And you have to save it. You can't open it in church, but you can save it and take it home. And then whenever mom says you can have it, you can have the lollipop.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me introduce myself. My name's Simon. I was a fisherman, but this guy named Jesus came along and he said, "Simon, come follow me and I will make you fish for people." It was a strange request, but I was ready to go. For some reason, I was ready to go and follow this man, Jesus. So I went, and my brother Andrew went, and a couple other fishing buddies went, James and John, and we followed Jesus. And it wasn't long after that it was the Sabbath. It was the day of the Sabbath, and we happened to be in my hometown of Capernaum. And so, like any other Sabbath, we went to church, went to the synagogue. And as we were there, Jesus was asked to speak. And he got up and he spoke. And what amazing words this man Jesus spoke. This was the first time I had ever heard him speak in public. And he had a great sermon. And he could teach. It was as if the words of God were coming straight, directly out of his lips. People were amazed at what he had to say. And I even noticed some of the scribes and the Pharisees who were there in the synagogue that day, that they were even taking note of Jesus. They were paying attention. Nobody fell asleep that day when we came to church. And after church, people just didn't stand around talking to each other and gossiping or carrying on. Everybody scattered. After church was out, everybody scattered. They had to go back home and tell their relatives who didn't make it to church. how what they missed, that they had missed this at church today. And they told their neighbors and their friends the same thing. As for me and Andrew and James and John and Jesus, I invited them to come back to my family home. My mother-in-law lived with us at that time, and she was a great cook. And I was bragging on how good of a cook she was and how she just loved to cook, and that you never had any food better than she knew how to cook. And as we were getting close to the house, one of my cousins ran out and said, "Granny's sick." And I thought, "Granny's sick? Granny's never been sick before in her life." Jesus had given me the name of Peter, the Rock. But I tell you what, that was a joke. I was a marshmallow compared to Granny. Granny was the true rock. Granny was the leader of the family. Granny knew how to do things. Granny could cook, and she could also lead the family, and she just had one of those stares that you knew you did not cross. Granny was sick. Kind of made me think, you know, if Granny can get sick, anybody can get sick. Made me think of our mortality, that old age does catch up with us. Sickness can catch up with us. Disease can catch up with us. Injury can get to us. Granny was sick. Not only made me feel bad that Granny was feeling so bad, but also, too, it made me feel bad because I had been bragging about how good of a cook Granny was. And she wasn't going to be able to cook for us that day. Jesus insisted that we go on to the house anyway. And when we got there, Jesus went straight into her room. And he looked at her, and he reached out his hand, and he held her hand, and he lifted her hand up, and she rose up. She got up out of bed, and she stood up. And her color came back. Her fever was gone. A smile came on her face, and she was feeling great. Jesus had healed her. And the first thing she did, she says, "I'm going to cook supper." Granny went back to doing what she loved to do. And what a great supper that was. I think that was one of the best meals she ever cooked. And we ate plenty, and we enjoyed it thoroughly. After supper, we were just kind of sitting around and visiting a little bit and relaxing after the long day of the Sabbath, when there came a knock at the door. It was the neighbor next door. His son, several days earlier, had been playing, had been climbing trees, and he had an accident. He fell out of one of the trees. And when he fell down, he broke his leg. The father took him to the doctor, of course, and the doctor said it and doctored it as much as he possibly could. But it didn't look like it was setting right. The leg was still crooked. It was swollen up. It looked terrible. And the boy had lots of pain and could not walk on that leg. The father asked Jesus, "Is there anything that you can do?" And Jesus talked to the man for a little while and talked to the boy for a little while. Next thing I know, that little boy was outside. He was running and jumping and playing and having a good time. You never would have guessed his leg was hurt. Jesus had healed him. So we went back on into the house. And just a few minutes later, there came another knock on the door. It was a couple of young people from across town, and they brought their father, their elderly father, with them. And they were saying, "Father's gotten sick. And if something happens to Dad, we won't have any place to live. Can you do something about that, Jesus?" And Jesus talked to them for a little while, and he talked to the father for a little while. And next thing I know, I heard a big belly laugh and a deep voice just thanking Jesus. The father was made well. And he was thankful for it. He was joyous for it. And as Jesus was finishing up with him, some other folks showed up. And then some more people came in. Next thing I know, it looked like the whole town was gathered around our door. By that time then, myself and Andrew and James and John were out there too, talking and visiting with people and trying to help them as much as we could, trying to bring a little bit of order and calming some folks down. But Jesus was the one who was healing folks. And it didn't matter what was wrong with them. It might have been something as small as a child with a scrape on their knee. Or there were some people there who obviously something was wrong with them. I couldn't tell anything physically wrong with them, but they just weren't right. It didn't matter what the problem was or what the concern was. Jesus was there for them, and Jesus healed them. Some of it was couples, was husband and wife who were not able to get along with each other, and they came to Jesus to talk to him about that. I also noticed some of the rough-looking characters that came up to people you wouldn't want to meet after dark outside by yourself. People who had a terrible reputation. I'd heard things that they had done to other people. They even came to Jesus. And after talking to Jesus, there seemed to be a peace and a calm about them. Jesus didn't turn anybody away. There was no problem too small or too great for Jesus. Whether it was hurting physically or whether it was a troubled spirit within them or it seemed like some devil was dwelling within them, Jesus was able to handle that situation and to heal them and to bring them peace, to bring them calm. When everybody cleared out that night, I was exhausted. Andrew and James and John were exhausted. You could tell Jesus was tired too. It's very draining. But yet at the same time, it was a good exhaustion. It felt great for what we were doing. And I thought about Jesus calling me to be as one of his followers. It's tough. I knew there was going to be a lot of work, or I didn't figure it would be this much work. But at the same time, it was still great. It was a wonderful feeling. And as I lay down before I went to sleep, I was thinking about that too, with all the people that were coming to see Jesus. It seems like everybody in town had a problem. Maybe everybody does have a problem. Maybe everybody does need to talk to Jesus. Maybe everybody needs to be healed by Jesus. Some of the problems didn't seem to be so great. Other problems seem gut-wrenching that people had. Everybody had some kind of issue or problem, whether it was physical or whether it was some demon within inside them or some troubled spirit. Jesus was able to help them. He was able to help everyone. Everyone needed to come and see Jesus. That next morning I woke up And I was rested, I was refreshed, but I noticed Jesus wasn't there. He was gone. He must have gotten up before daylight and looked around the house, and he wasn't there either. So Andrew and James and John got up, and we quickly ate breakfast, and we went out looking for Jesus. We knocked on some of the neighbor's doors and asking about Jesus, and they said, no, we haven't seen him, but if you see him, have him come back again. We need to talk to him some more. And so we started looking around town. We went to the marketplace, but Jesus wasn't there. And then I thought, oh, you idiot, he's a man of God. He's going to be at the church. So we went up to the synagogue. Nope, Jesus wasn't there either. But everywhere we went, people were asking about him. Is he coming back? Or when is he coming back? We kept looking, and finally we found him in a deserted place, all by himself. And he was there praying. I guess Jesus sometimes too needs that time to be quiet and to talk to his Heavenly Father. He needs that time of rejuvenation, time to think and meditate and to pray. But I'll tell you what, I was a little bit perturbed with Jesus. I mean, getting up and leaving and not telling anybody where he's going, we can't find him. And so I said, Jesus, you ready to come back? People are asking for you. And Jesus says, we're not going back into Capernaum. We're not going back into town. There's other towns, there's other villages around here that we need to go see. There's other people that I need to go minister to. And so that's what we did. We traveled around that Galilee region, Jesus with his preaching and teaching from time to time, and his healing. And we followed along with him, proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.